foot, launches a golazo!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. This World Cup is just getting into the chaos realm at this point. We're getting into the second matches played for teams. We saw that start today. We saw a 1-1 draw here in Atlanta that was a really interesting match. We'll talk about Czechia and South Africa as we go tonight. Right now at halftime, Mexico, South Korea, no score in that one, so we really haven't learned anything about Group A. We've learned a lot about Group B. Switzerland with a huge 4-1 win over Bosnia and Herzegovina, and that game got extremely intoxicated in the last 10 minutes. And then Canada and Qatar said, hold my beer, and it was insane. 6-0 win for Canada, their first ever World Cup win. They're now on 4 points, which means they should be guaranteed to go into the knockout round, even if they lose to Switzerland in Game 3. But Qatar also had 2 red cards in that one. And one of them is on, I think, an accidental play in terms of not trying to injure Ismaël Koné, but a broken leg, and the talk is about 5 months at least out. And then things just kept getting weirder with arguments over it. Not the player who committed the foul. I think he realized what happened and was kind of a mess. It was other players, personnel on the coaching staff for Qatar. It was after the game. The handshake got frosty between Jesse Marsh and Julen Lopetegui, and Jesse Marsh handshakes can get frosty in general, but this one I think was extremely warranted, and he talked about it in his post-game press conference. There were some things said, and there were some things done after Koné's leg was broken that kind of unnecessary at that point, because, I mean, everybody saw what happened, and there was not any play acting, there was not anything else. I mean, you can argue if the player meant to do it or not, and I don't think he did, but it happened, and it's a red card foul. And anyway, we're getting into that stage where I think tempers are getting frayed. Things are getting chaotic. Weird things are happening across the board. A lot of goals are happening. A lot of things are being discussed. And we'll get into as much of that as we can tonight. Second segment, we're going to get heavy into the U.S. men's national team pregame as they play Australia tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Figure out where you're going to be for that one. It looks like weather-wise, the worst of it will be gone in the morning. I think there is a slight chance of rain in the afternoon by the time that game kicks off at 3 o'clock, but should be overcast, should be okay. Not expecting any bad weather, even if there's a little bit of rain. So not sure on things with FIFA Fan Festival tomorrow, and Educator Watch Fest said they would issue an update later today. The Fan Festival shut down early today because of weather. There are a lot of different places to be part of this U.S.-Australia game tomorrow. You can be with us at McRae's on the Beltline. I'll have the post-game show for you from 6 to 8. Atlanta Soccer Tonight special tomorrow on 92.9 The Game, on the Odyssey app, and on the 92.9 The Game YouTube channel. But let's get into what we learned today, and we'll look ahead to the rest of tomorrow's schedule as well, because I don't want that to get lost in the shuffle. We're getting into these games now that have a lot of extra meaning. Czechia and South Africa. Great, great crowd in Atlanta. Awesome crowd with 67,000 plus at the Benz / Atlanta Stadium. A lot of things coming into this game that were, for me, a lot of questions about both of the teams. And nothing really got resolved. Czechia has shown that at times they can be really good. They scored off the long throw-in against South Korea last week. They score off of a throw-in situation this week. But they also ran out of gas like they did last week. South Africa was better than they were last week in the 2-0 loss to Mexico. No question about that one, but they weren't good enough. And it was very frustrating because I've watched the South Africa team from the AFCON tournament in December and January through to game one, and I saw a little bit of friendlies with them. This is a team that has more talent than they show. And some of it is down to the defensive stance of their manager, Hugo Bruce, who really likes to make a lot of excuses. Old Hugo likes to talk a lot. He told pundits to shut up before this game after there was a lot of criticism of how they played in that game against Mexico last week. That's a tough game. It's the opening game of the tournament. You're in Mexico City. The Estadio Azteca is not an easy place for anybody to play. I thought they were too defensive. We talked about it last week, which feels like an eternity ago. It was literally 7 days ago. But I felt like in the second half of the first half, there were opportunities for South Africa to be more expansive, to go for the game more. They didn't take them. It was kind of the same thing today in that they had a lot of the ball. They were very defensive by nature. They settled for long-range shots way too often, 11 of 17 shots were from outside the 18, and a couple of them were from possibly Clayton County. One especially was from just inside the attacking half. I think just outside of the center circle. Just weird, like kind of antsy when you got to look at goal, and I don't know where that's coming from. It was a bad start for South Africa. You have to question Hugo Bruce, and you have to question the coaching staff, and you have to question why after AFCON games when it didn't go well, and this is back in December, he was complaining about the vibe at games in Morocco and complaining about how the crowds felt. He said it didn't feel like AFCON to him. That was his way to deflect after a disappointing performance. Well, he did the same today. He complained about the atmosphere at the Atlanta Stadium. He talked about how the Estadio Azteca was a real football stadium because it was open. And he didn't really complain about the field internally. I think he just wanted to try to find something to, again, distract people. Not really going to work, Hugo, because you've already played the time. Your team was it. And it's a shame. There are some really good players in the South African team. And I thought when you saw them get a little desperate towards the end, when you saw them let loose and combine, especially with the fullbacks and the wingers getting further up the field, I like Oswin Apollos, a player that I would love to see come to Major League Soccer. That would really Bruce, because he gets very upset when his players dare to come to Major League Soccer. Hugo needs to go for South Africa to be what they can be, which is a team that is consistently getting out of African World Cup qualifying, consistently making runs in the AFCON tournament, and starting to win games and get results in the World Cup. The talent's there. And really important to think of the Club World Cup last year and think of a team, the Mamelodi Sundowns. Play a very attack, almost bordering on crack-minded style. But they got everybody excited, and you saw players that can play in that way. There's obviously an in-between. Be completely wide open, but you have to show that you can be dangerous going forward. You have to show a commitment to it. And you have to find the style of play, which is your country style of play, the way your country feels the game, and how your players feel the game. And we've had this conversation. I talked about it with Dukes and Bell this afternoon. It's an interesting conversation that in the next segment, I'm going to get my intersection co-conspirator, Noel, on talking about this as well. Because culture in teams is very important. And I talked about it with Dukes and Bell this afternoon when it comes to the U.S. team. And what Maurizio Pochettino has done to get the team where he wanted them to be culture-wise, while adapting as well. And he talked about it when it came to Brendan Aaronson and letting him go get married during the pre-tournament camp. That's something a coach of Pochettino's probably would not have done 10 years ago. Well, he did it here because he understands that his players are different than they were 10 years ago. But he has also forced them to adapt to him and be competitive in these games, make everything feel in a match as much as you can without it actually being life or death. Make it feel that way. Make the desperation, and maybe the better word is urgency, make it palpable. This is something that I think matches just a U.S. play style. I think it's something that suits the group of players. You have to get them work, and it suits your manager, and they've all come together to, I think, blend a new style for U.S. soccer that fits, that suits it. I think Thomas Tuchel's done the same thing with England. It's England with a little bit of a twist. I think South Africa is not playing like South Africa is capable of or should play or is comfortable playing, being so defensive and being on the back foot. And I thought we saw it in the start today. Czechia, just talking about them, I think kind of who we thought they were coming into this tournament. They got through in the playoff. They got pinned in the playoff. They weren't necessarily super impressive. They had a big comeback in that game. They've shown spirit. They've shown they have some players who are very good, but they don't have it for 90 minutes. And maybe they still get out of the group. I think the draw makes it borderline impossible for these two teams to advance because I don't see either one beating Mexico or South Korea. Mexico has just taken a 1-0 lead on a big-time goalkeeper mistake from South Korea. That game's in Guadalajara. So Mexico right now has the advantage in the group. If they win, because of the new tiebreaker rules, and this is very important, our group chat almost fell apart about an hour ago in trying to decipher all of this. The first tiebreaker in the group is head-to-head. So whoever wins this game between Mexico and South Korea will win the group. That's big, because they'll have the tiebreak advantage. There's no way they could be jumped because they'd be on 6 points. If they lose game three and the other team wins game three from this match, they can only get the 6 points, but they wouldn't have the tiebreak. So tiebreaker is the first, is head-to-head, and that is essential to know when we get to this second game and going into the third matches. Other games today, I went through them quickly. Switzerland and Bosnia and Herzegovina. There was a red card in the 80th minute for Bosnia and Herzegovina. It was a denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, and the game got silly after that. It was 1-0 with a goal 6 minutes before that from Switzerland. They scored 4 minutes after the red card to make it 2-0. They scored at the 90th minute to make it 3-0. Then they conceded to make it 3-1, but then Granit Xhaka scored in the 97th minute to restore the three-goal win, 4-1 for Switzerland. Canada and Qatar, I mentioned some of the histrionics with it. Canada was all over Qatar from the beginning. Qatar, I still can't believe they got a point against Switzerland. I really can't with what we've seen from Qatar in this match and what we saw from Qatar coming into the tournament. Kyle Larin opened the scoring in the 16th minute. Jonathan David in the 29th. You got a denial of an obvious goal scoring opportunity. Red card in the 33rd for Qatar. David made it 3-0 in first half stoppage time. Then you had the foul and red card and broken leg for Ismail Kone. Nathan Saliba scored in the 64th minute, so 7 minutes after he checked into the game for Kone, then held up his jersey, which was pretty amazing for a guy who checks into the game as a sub, scores a wonderful goal, and is thinking about his teammate who left the field on a stretcher. Then a fifth goal, then a sixth goal in stoppage time. David completed the hat trick, so he goes level with Messi in terms of having hat tricks. So Canada wins 6-0. They're in great shape in their group. And the match going on right now, Mexico up 1-0 in the 55th minute. Mexico, I think, has shown more in a game and a half than we've seen from South Korea. It was a great comeback from South Korea against Czechia. I feel a little less positive about Czechia after what we saw from them today. So the comeback maybe doesn't have quite as much meaning. We'll talk a little bit about those power rankings and things. Got into it last night with Madison Cruz. The Athletic kind of ripped off our gimmick, and I have some issues with it. And one of those revolves around the U.S. men's national team. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what you need to know about the U.S. and Australia tomorrow at 3 o'clock on the other side of the break. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game. Noel White alongside, riding shotgun. What's up, Noel?
What's going on, Jason?
We're navigating a few different twists here, as Noel and I have figured out how to do shows on multiple platforms all at once and trying to make all of it work. So bear with us a little bit. We might have to juggle as we go, but it's been cool with our intersection show kind of crossing over into Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I know you have been bitten by the bug when it comes to the World Cup and how all of that has gone. So what have you been consuming with the World Cup as of late?
Man, it's been at least a match a day for me so far, but I've been consuming multiple matches. I think today I didn't switch gears until the Dream went into their House of Horrors. It's not October, but it is spooky season. Got the dub. We'll talk about that later. But before that, it was all soccer all day, and it's been this way all week. Saw a lot of goals scored. I got to see Mbappe in live and in action. I got to see him score. I saw 2 out of 3 Messi goals. That was awesome. I saw a very shell-shocked Cristiano Ronaldo team. But the most fun I think I've had so far was Spain. Watching Spain against Cape Verde. I went in cheering for Spain, and I left being very entertained watching them be denied for the entire game. You could start to see the frustration on Spain's face the longer it went on. You could see the confidence grow in Cape Verde the more it went on. You could feel they really wanted that action on the left side of the field of Spain, like that left top of the goal. They kept trying to get a lot of scoring action going that way, and Cape Verde was just ready for everything they threw at them. It was really fun.
Yeah, Cabo Verde is very cool, the whole story, and we've talked a lot about it all week. If you haven't seen the updates today, it looks like Vecinha's mother, who he talked about in his post-game press conference, who the situation, she was caught up in the travel bond scenario that was out there a few months ago in traveling to the World Cup. Now that got dropped because it ultimately wasn't very successful and it was deterring travel. So when it got dropped, by that point it was too difficult for the prices were too high, so it was too difficult to get everything booked to get the visa. So now with some help, it has gotten done, and I believe she is going to be there for game 2 when they play Uruguay. So very cool.
Ah. Exciting.
Yeah, it's that's what the things you get out of this tournament. You know, I mean, like I learned as I was watching that Cabo Verde game and figuring out what we were going to write about, like I'm like, okay, this is kind of like mythical, this kind of result and what it's turning into. Let me look at Cabo Verdean mythology, and I found the spirit protector who comes out of the cave to protect the country from storms. Just stuff like that we learn about these countries that we've never had a chance to travel to and we didn't know about. These are the things you get at the World Cup.
No, there are. Yeah, we learned a lot about Cape Verde, not just on the field but off. And can I say, the kit, the pregame kit and the kit itself. Very nice in being able to stop a hell-bent Spain on coming in to win it all, really, and to be able to put the brakes on them and look good while you're doing it. It was really fun to watch. I just want to see how far they can go. Now, admittedly, I do believe it would have been a different match if you had Lamine Yamal in there for the entire game.
Yeah, I agree.
You saw instantly how the game changed as soon as he entered. But he only played for, what, 18 minutes?
Yeah, I think it was stoppage time a little more than 20. And it was interesting when Lamine Yamal checked into that game for Spain. I thought he was really good straight away. And yes. You saw Cabo Verde kind of panic a little bit. But then you saw the rustiness from Lamine as well, because he hadn't played in a competitive match in a couple of months. And I thought, like, towards the end, he was a little sloppy, which is to be expected.
Right. Because I think when I asked, you about him a couple months ago, he still had the hammy injury. So we were still unsure if we were going to see him.
Yeah, it was a concern, a big concern for Spain for a while. And I think it's a valid one, because I think we saw the difference of Spain when he was on the field, when Nico Williams was on the field, and when they weren't. You weren't as dynamic, you weren't as threatening, you weren't as unpredictable, because you didn't have those wingers who can beat you 1v1 with pace, but also with skill. Spain needs that to be able to break through teams like Cabo Verde that, look, Cabo Verde knows who they are. They're a really good defensive team, period. But they know playing a team like Spain, they have to be more defensive. They have to sit back. You need your 40-year-old goalkeeper to have a magical kind of day, and he did. And the rest of the team played really well in front of him as well.
I mean, the goalkeeper was so exceptional. He gained like 2 million followers?
No, a whole lot more than that.
Was it more than that?
We talked about the streamer who boosted Tim Payne's following, right. The New Zealand fullback. This is on a whole nother level. So in Brazil, the World Cup rights were actually acquired by a streaming channel on YouTube, and it's a very famous one in Brazil, Kaze TV. So when he's having this great match, because they're coming at the broadcast a little bit different style, they're like, oh, he's only got like 50,000 Instagram followers. Go. And then the rest of the world joins in when they start to hear about this. 50,000 Instagram followers to, on our show, when we were talking about it, he picked up about 1 million followers. Like, during the show, he is now at 13.9 million Instagram followers.
Wow.
But I mean, he hit the trifecta of he's handsome, he's played well, and there is somebody out there pushing his name. Like, that's what you need. That's the trifecta.
Yep. It's wild. Kenya is now followed by 13.9 million people. We'll see if any... Yeah, it's going to keep going. He'll be over 14 probably before the night's over. Mexico up 1-0 going into the 71st minute. It is the de Tacion, which has been quite the topic on the social medias and in stadiums, where you've heard boos, and I feel like it's getting louder.
The hydration.
Yeah, some people are talking about it. I talked about it on social media. I got a lot of people riled up. A bunch of names. I think it's making the tournament better, actually. I think people are conflating a few different things with it. Mm-hmm. I have said consistently, I would never go to a break during it if I'm producing a game. I wouldn't go to a commercial break. I would do a picture in film, what Telemundo does, where they use the bars around the picture for product placement, for a sponsorship. I think that's the right way. The actual pause is making the games better. I think players are more rested. I think players are fresher. You are going to deal with heat in some venues where it's needed, but you can't have it in some venues and not in others because of the competitive integrity of the tournament. I do think that is very important. And it's all turning into a mush of rabble. People can get mad and yell and vent their frustration without actually having maybe the full reasoning behind it. So we'll see. I think it's been a really fun tournament. I think you're seeing a lot of goals. Some people are saying there are some bad teams in it. I would disagree with that.
I think we're seeing a lot of parity.
I think you've seen a lot. I think we saw Qatar struggle. I think we saw Curacao in game one struggle. Outside of that, we haven't seen this. And Tunisia, coach gets fired. The Bosnia game today, you have a red card that leads to that game getting kind of weird with goals.
Out of hand, yeah.
It's been a really fun tournament, and I think there's two reasons why. I do think the hydration breaks are making it a fun tournament because, again, players are fresher, and also the rules that FIFA put in place to prevent time wasting. You're not seeing people take forever on throw-ins. You're not seeing people take forever on goal kicks. You're seeing players get off the field quickly on substitutions. You're not having to play 10 minutes of stoppage time on a regular basis because the game's flowing. More action is being played. Which is a good thing. It's making the product better. We'll see if that factors in tomorrow as the U.S. plays Australia. And this is potentially the most watched U.S. men's national team game ever. It could be potentially the most watched soccer ever. 3 o'clock kick on a Friday in the middle of the summer.
On a holiday Friday.
Yeah. I think it has all that potential. I think it could be a massive, massive rating. We already saw that for game one. And now you've got hype coming into this. Now, Christian Pulisic, latest update, he has not trained with the group this week. He has worked out physically on his own. All counts, nothing has changed about the injury. It was a contusion-related injury with his calf. He got hit in the same spot in the match. And it tightened up at halftime. And when he cooled down, that's when he came out of the match against Paraguay. He's very important against Australia because, as we've seen with them, they're a good team. And this one's gotten a little in the pregame buildup.
I'll definitely be tuned in. I think I went to Sam and Greg until 10. I go home and get a great nap, get a drink, get something on the grill. Watch U.S. Australia. That is going to be fun. I wonder if Dyson Daniels will be there.
Oh, yeah. You get a few interesting little crossover things like that.
By the way, that has been one of my favorite side things. Watching the European commentators have to figure out which American superstar they're looking at.
Absolutely
hilarious.
Yeah, there's some that they are not getting. Liv Morgan from WWE was in the stands on one, and they cut to her, and they did not know who she was on the European broadcast. I don't think Telemundo knew who she was either. It was very entertaining.
They knew they had a Manning in New York. They just didn't know which one they had.
Nice.
they was like, it's a Manning. I'm almost certain. I can't tell you anything beyond that.
And I was quite tickled. This is the chaos we get with the World Cup. We'll talk a little bit more about U.S. men's national team in stoppage time and on the podcast portion of the show. But coming up next, we got the 3-4-3. We got three players that have stood out today. We got four headlines from all over the tournament and then three things that have made me smile. That's coming up next in the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
And now we end the night with a bit of structure.
Shot.
Let's get the formation set. It's the 3-4-3 on Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Back, it's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's time for the 3-4-3. It's how we always end the radio show. Y'all know this by now. I'm Jason Longshorts, brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. If you are listening on the radio, if you are listening on the Odyssey app live, you're going to want to move over to YouTube. When we finish this segment, the show will continue. We'll take some questions. We're going to get into culture and team building. It's going to be a fun conversation with me and Noel, but I got to deliver a 3-4-3 for you. And during the World Cup, the categories have kind of evolved a little bit. It is going to be three standout players from today, four headlines from around the tournament, and three things that make me smile. The three standouts, I mean, Jonathan David's got to be number one, right? He scored a hat trick in this game against Qatar, and yeah, it got kind of weird, and yeah, they had two red cards, and he completed the hat trick in stoppage time, second hat trick of the tournament. But Jonathan David, if he can be firing on all cylinders for Canada, along with Kyle Larin, who has been scoring goals, then Canada's attack, which I think has been a little bit of an issue for them, and they've been doing this without Alphonso Davies as well, then Canada turns into a different team. If they can have David and Larin scoring, get Davies back, Canada should be in the knockout round for the first time ever. Can they actually pull off a knockout win? Going to be a fascinating one. Number two on the standout players from today, Johan Manzambi, the Swiss 20-year-old, scored two goals today. He came off the bench in game one against Qatar. Didn't really add too much in the 25 minutes plus that he played. He was told to just play. Let the talent speak for itself. Do what you do. He did that in this one. He scored his first goal at the World Cup 3 minutes after coming off the bench. He added a second in stoppage time. I was really disappointed with Switzerland in their match against Qatar. I thought they should have put that match away. They gave up a late equalizer. I was more disappointed with Switzerland than I was impressed by Qatar in that one. They were much better today, the Swiss. And Manzambi, if he becomes your spark plug off the bench, then we're having a very different conversation about this team. And number three, a player that we got a chance to see firsthand at Atlanta Stadium today, Ladislav Krejci, the defender from Czechia. He was named man of the match. And he was the one that I kept writing about in my notes. He was the one who really impressed me. South Africa played long a lot and for some reason kept going at him. He won the overwhelming majority of his duels. He was very good on the ball as well, I thought. When the Czechs played through Krejci in the buildup, they were much, much better. The Wolves center back is a top player. I was very, very impressed with him. He is a player. And look, you start to think about this when you see guys in a World Cup, you're like, there is a team here in Atlanta. Maybe that player is available. I think Krejci might be a little bit difficult to pull off because he's in the Premier League with Wolves. He's a guy who has been at that kind of level for a minute. He's the captain of Czechia. But, you know, if he wanted to come to Atlanta or come to Major League Soccer, I would not be too upset about that. Ladislav Krejci, very impressive tonight. All right, four headlines from around the tournament. Talked about it with Canada. They have to be in this because it's their first ever World Cup win. This is their third tournament that they have been in. They were there in 1986. They were there last time out in 2022. But they get their first win. Now, it is against Qatar, and it's against maybe the weakest team in the tournament. But the headlines, even though a lot are going to be about Ismaël Koné with the broken leg and the injury to him that is going to impact this team, because I think Koné is a player who has really come into his own over the last 12 to 18 months in Europe. Losing him is going to be a struggle for Canada. And there's going to be a lot of talk about that, and there should be. Don't lose the fact that Canada has finally gotten their first World Cup win. That is very important. And in my opinion, as a U.S. fan, I think things are better when Canada is good. And for a long time, they weren't competitive. For a long time, they weren't even getting to the final round of World Cup qualifying. When they're competitive along with Mexico and the U.S. is getting good matches with spice, rivalry, it makes the U.S. program better. So, yes, until you play in a competitive game and, you know, you'd have to see how the brackets could potentially fall. Things get weird. Until they meet on the field in something that matters, and CONCACAF will be that coming up after this tournament, down the road, Nations League, Gold Cup, those sorts of things. Until then, go Canada. It's fine. Jesse Marsh is not making people happy these days on the U.S. side. He's had a lot of things to say. Clint Dempsey popped back at him, but go Canada. I'm good with it. I'll have some poutine this weekend in honor of Canada. Number two on the headlines, the U.S. has seized more than 50 drones near World Cup sites, according to the Department of Homeland Security. In Kansas City, a joint federal city counter-drone team intercepted 8 drones on Wednesday during World Cup events at the stadium and the FIFA Fan Festival. We have seen some drones in Mexico at where South Korea was training in the buildup to the match that's going on right now that South Korea should have leveled. But the goalkeeper for Mexico kept it out and then sitting on the ground is able to get to it to prevent the follow-up opportunity from going in. Unbelievable play to keep that out. It's 88th minute. It's still 1-0 Mexico. The drones, though, it's going to be interesting. We've seen it from a spying standpoint in terms of team practices. And yeah, there are other things that can happen with this. That's why the Department of Homeland Security is involved. But 50 have been seized during World Cup or near World Cup sites since the start of the tournament last week. Number three on the headlines, we talked about this earlier in the pre-tournament build-up. Tottenham have gotten the deal done finally to bring in Jan van Hekke from Brighton. And Roberto De Zerbi, the manager at Tottenham Hotspur, who kept them up, he wanted to get him. He'd been he played for him previously at Brighton, wanted him to build up the Spurs back line, gets it done in what is sounding like a £52 million deal. Not cheap for Tottenham Hotspur, and they hope that one pays off. And then number four, and this is one that can be kind of a global conversation, but this one is originating from Turkey, their manager, Vincenzo Montella. He said on Thursday during his pregame press conference that the harsh criticism following his side's opening 2-0 loss to Australia has been demoralizing for some of his younger players. And he is saying that they deserve more support as they go into a critical game with Paraguay. Both teams on 0 points. Both teams need a win here. Turkey was seen as a team that could challenge the U.S. to win the group, but Australia is now that team after the win. This is tough because, look, there's a lot of pressure on players and coaches in this tournament. We've already seen a coach lose their job in this tournament. He said, Montella, it doesn't bother me because I'm a little bit older. I'm able to switch off from that. But a lot of our players are only 20 years of age. They're young guys, so they can suffer a lot in that sort of situation. I think we've been pretty firm and harsh at home, and I think over the last few days that certainly had an impact on the players' morale, talking about what the media has said at home. He said they're men. They're not robots, not machines. So they have been affected on how overboard some of the reactions have been. And that's the struggle that when we get into these conversations, because when we talk about these teams, yes, we have to criticize when players need to be criticized. We talk about this with Atlanta United, and it's something that I talk about aspiring commentators for. You do have to remember you're talking about human beings. Even when a player makes a big mistake that costs a team a game, you can talk about the mistake or you can talk about the poor performance without being disrespectful. And that sometimes gets lost, and it sometimes turns into just, I'm just saying this because it's how I feel. You do have to think about the other side of it. And I think at the World Cup level, when we're talking about the national side of it, the team side of it, sometimes it is overboard, and sometimes it becomes and, you know, that is a little bit of just the culture of social media that we deal with now, and sometimes people forget that you're talking about another person and instead think about, I need to be over the top. And it's a shame because it does have an impact. I don't think you gain any better performance from the player by being disrespectful in talking about their previous performance. I think it's only going to do harm. It's not going to do good. That's to be careful about. And I think some maybe lose sight of times. All right, three things that made me smile. Not that. Number one, you saw this late in the game last night between Atlanta's Uzbekistan White Wolves and Colombia. Crazy situation. Abdulkadir Khusunov, who going for a tackle on a Colombian player, the Uzbekistan defender, went in hard, committed, but he also continued through as he's trying to stop the play. I mean, he's trying to make the play. He's a step late. But then he continued accidental collision with a cameraman, and he sent the cameraman a signed jersey bearing the message, I am sorry. Completely accidental. It did not look like it was very pleasant for the camera operator, but he was okay, thankfully. It didn't end up being an injury situation. And he gets an autographed Khusunov jersey. Also, Uzbekistan left a nice note for their Mexican hosts at the stadium in the Estadio Azteca, wished Mexico well the rest of the tournament. Uzbekistan's becoming a favorite. I was really impressed with how they played last night. And, of course, they're based here in Atlanta. We're going to see them in Game 3 in the group stage. Number two on things that make me smile. This is something that we always try to end the show with, things that make us smile. And I'm really lucky to get to do something that makes me smile this weekend. I'm going to be part of the Tercer Tiempo Film Festival. It's going to be at the Atlanta Marriott Northeast in the Emory area. Starts tomorrow and is completely free. It continues on Saturday. I will be there on Saturday, and I'll be in one of the discussion panels after a film about some of the marketing that goes into the game. And really where it first popped up at the World Cup was in 1970 with Pelé, when he stopped as all the cameras are on him in the first World Cup that was televised in color around the world. He stopped before the kickoff, and he bent over to tie his shoes, and he did a close-up, and he does. And it became a very big deal. And then now you have all the brands chasing all the dollars and all the superstars. And that was kind of the real start of all this. So really looking forward to the film. Really looking forward to all the other films. You can find out more by going to Tercer Tiempo Fest on social media. And you can also find it on the Soccer Down Here Instagram page as well. We're really lucky to be partners with the festival, and I'm looking forward to Saturday morning 10 a.m. for and that screening. But you've got films about Maradona, you've got films about Marcello Lippi, you've got lots of great films. It's free for everybody, starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow at the Atlanta Marriott Northeast. And the last thing that has made me smile today, it was very cool after the game, after doing all of our media, after going through Hugo Bruce transcripts, which is not something that makes me smile because he says crazy things. What made me smile is walking back into the media center at the World Congress Center. So on what I think might still be called Falcons Landing. I always think of it that way because when we went to the old Georgia Dome, you know, the grass area there between the World Congress Center and where you walk over to Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A soccer pickup game with little kids, with adults, with all nationalities, all backgrounds, all ages. The adults were letting the little kids play with them. It was so cool to see with the stadium and all the World Cup branding behind it. Because that's what it is. You're going to have so many people who are going to remember this World Cup experience here in Atlanta and things like that. So just stumbling on that game after, you know, walking out of the World Congress Center and then coming back in and seeing it, that was so cool. Because if you love the game, you've jumped into one of those pickup games before like that with random strangers, and you meet people, and they might be from anywhere in the world. And a lot of times in those pickup games, you make lifelong friends. It's very, very cool. Or you just have a special memory of playing in the shadow of a World Cup stadium like little kids today got to do at Falcons Landing. So cool. All right, tomorrow, U.S. Men's National Team and Australia, 3 o'clock kick. You can watch it all over the place, all over the city, so many different events. I will be at McRae's on the Beltline with 92.9 The Game. Day-Day is going to follow me, but I'm on from 6 to 8. So the game's at 3. It'll be over at 5. I get an hour to gather myself, and then we'll break down everything that happened. Day-Day will be on from 8 to 11. We'll both be at McRae's. Come watch the game with us. Come hang out. Come stay for the post-game show. 6 to 8 Atlanta Soccer tonight, Friday, after the U.S. and Australia. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed for Christian Pulisic's health. We'll be talking about all of it tomorrow. But we're also going to continue the conversation tonight over on YouTube. Come hang out with us. Make sure you are getting all the podcasts. Thank you for following Atlanta Soccer tonight, all throughout this tournament, and we're not even close to halfway done. Y'all have a good rest of the night. Adios, everybody.
Oh! Golazo, Edgar Vasquez!
Now back to our look at the world of soccer.
And Jason Longshore has it all covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
All right, welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, Stoppage Time style on the YouTube. I'm Jason Longshore. Once Noelle White gets everything switched over on the radio side, she'll be joining in. I want to get into this culture conversation that kind of popped up out of nowhere with Dukes and Bell earlier today. It was a fun conversation because I think it crosses so many different experiences. And I feel like it's something that maybe hasn't been properly discussed when it comes to the U.S. men's national team and Pochettino and what he's wanted and what it's maybe been a challenge for him to achieve, but what I think he actually has started to. Changing a culture is hard. And I, as somebody who has grown up in the U.S. soccer culture, like, I can see it in a couple different ways. I think some aspects of it are good. And I think some aspects of it are not, and some aspects of it don't help you be a more competitive, high-level player. And then some aspects of U.S. soccer culture are just totally based on the elite player and not thinking about the bigger picture, which is maybe a detriment to the overall culture of U.S. soccer, but doesn't affect the actual national team. There's so many different layers to this, and we can go down a million different roads. But it's a conversation that we need to have. And I think it comes into play in a game like this one, where this is... It's not a knockout game, so I have to be a little careful here in saying it's the biggest game in the history of the U.S. men's national team program. Because it's not. It's not bigger than a quarterfinal in 2002. It's not bigger than the last game of qualifying in 1989, where you hadn't been to a World Cup in 40 years. That's got to be the biggest. The Confederations Cup final against Brazil in 2009 was really big. But this is on the list because of what it could mean and what it could be tomorrow afternoon. Because I think it's a really strong possibility that this is the most watched game in the history of soccer in this country on television. I think it's just measured differently now. I mean, you know, there's no way to do an accurate count of all the people who watched the U.S. game last Friday in bars and pubs and public viewing things. Like, there's no way to get that. But that was the most watched, no question. This on a holiday, Juneteenth, on a Friday, a 3 o'clock kick versus a 9 o'clock kick. Three is, you know, noon out on the West Coast. That's not that bad. I think it could be the most watched soccer match in the history of the country. And if it goes well, and look, this is a thing you can never predict. You can never do any. You can't guarantee that it turns out a win. You can never guarantee that, you know, Folair and Balogun has a hat trick. You can't guarantee what happens. All you can do is blow the whistle and kick off. I think the table is set for this to be a huge day. A huge, huge day. I really think this could be incredible. As we get Noel back into the mix. You got us, Noel? Maybe, maybe not. I'm thinking not. We'll give it a minute. I'll keep talking. I think when we talk about this game and what it could be, this feels momentous. It does. And if the result becomes a great day for U.S. soccer, where they clinch a spot in the knockout round, they clinch winning the group, because a win, would it do that? No, I think there's still a possibility. It wouldn't clinch it in the other games, not till later in the day. So we can't have that conversation that Mexico's having. You can all but clinch, depending on how it goes. I'm doing math, and that's really painful for me with my brain and my lack of sleep right now. So I think you cannot clinch tomorrow if you're the U.S. I gave myself a headache trying to figure this out earlier with the head-to-head stuff and the tiebreak stuff and all of that. But it's such a big day. And I'm like trying not to get overly excited because I would like to sleep tonight. But it's such a huge day for anybody who has loved the game in this country. It is such a huge day tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit about some things I want to see. I mean, I don't think I have to give you guys a full preview. We've talked so much about the U.S. team. I'll tell you some things that I want to see from them and some things that I think are important. That would be after. That's what I was, as I was trying to work through it in my head, Chris. I gave myself a headache trying to figure that out. Joseph. Yeah, that was a crazy game for Mexico. They did find their way through. I think Korea will be fine. I think they will get through and be just fine on the other side of it. I thought they were going to find the equalizer. I don't know how Raul Rangel, the goalkeeper, kept that out. Sitting reaching up, making the play. Just not what you normally see in that situation, but he pulled it off somehow and it worked. Full credit to Mexico. They've been better than I expected in this tournament by far. I did not see this kind of performance coming from them. Noah White with us now, I think officially. Maybe not. We're having some technical difficulties, if you couldn't tell. This is what happens on AST.
Okay.
I hear you now.
Now I can't hear anything for some reason. Ah! Okay, hold on.
We'll see if Noel can get this sorted. This has been one of those kind of... The last couple nights have been...
Hello, can you hear me?
Nights. I can hear you, yes.
For some reason, I can't. Okay, let me try to restart this one more time.
We'll get Noel back in a minute.
Okay.
Chaos here in AST land as we try to sort through all this. Because I want to pick her brain, because this is what I love having these conversations, because it makes me think about this game differently when we get into some of this stuff. Let's see if we can hear each other now.
Okay, now I think things are working.
Yes, I think they are as well. There we go. So first off, you got to tell everybody about representing the U.S. goalkeeper jersey right there, because you went off the board in getting a jersey.
Yes, of course. I always got to get something adjacent, something weird, something funky, and something with sleeves. And, of course, on sale. It hit all my markers.
Yeah, the on sale is definitely the most important part of the summer.
I
was going to go for one jersey that I was going to spend on, and it was the Thiago Almada jersey. And it was a winner. It made its Brewhouse debut for Argentina, which was very cool.
Nice.
Ropes, trust me, Noel is much better with technology than John Nelson. That is not even close. John is a disaster when it comes to the technology. This is just a little complicated. It was during the show. I'm glad we got it sorted out, because I didn't think about the echo feedback loop, but I think it was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. Shout out to Day Day. He you know, threw up a flag and let us know something going on. I was like, yeah, it's a little funky. We're working it out. We're figuring it out live and in person. But yeah, I've been having a ball wearing my gear, watching new stuff, learning new players.
You were laughing at everybody singing Country Roads in the stadium today. You got a good kick out of that.
I was like, okay. They're just, you know, it's that, and I've been seeing some of the ancillary videos of Europeans getting their whole entire life in America. Like their lives have been changed. Like they're going to Bucky's and Walmart and they're drinking American beer and eating American French fries, and they're like, this place is so freaking awesome. So,
lemon pepper wings. I've seen multiple.
Exactly.
And it's coming from so many different people, and we've talked about it, and I will put my hand up and say I'm a little worried that some of these are not genuine. Some of these may be some shenanigans going on, and I'm not sure.
Some of this has jumped the shark a little bit, Jason. Yeah. I'm with you. We are the Fonz in a leather jacket jumping the shark right now with this.
Some of them worry me about how true they are. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's a little concerning, but it's fun. At least it's not harmful if it's not necessarily real.
It's not harmful. They're having a good time, but it's definitely one of those question mark situations. It feels industry planty. I think that's the issue. Yeah, it's starting to feel a little industry planty. But there are plenty of people enjoying it organically. We know that for sure.
Yes.
South Africa seemed like they had a ball today.
They were awesome. It was really cool to see. And full credit to Czechia as well. This was a game that, I mean, I knew every game was going to draw, because what happens, and we went through this when the Olympics was here in 96, because I went through it. Like, I didn't have I was in college. I didn't have the money to buy tickets to things. I was broke. So it's like you have to wait and find the game or the event that, all right, I can afford this one. I can get to this one. Maybe the demand is a little less. So today, like the first game, you had a ton of Spain fans. you had a far bigger number of Cabo Verde fans than you would have ever expected.
Yeah, they were outside, boy.
Yeah, and then you had neutrals, and you had Atlanta United jerseys, you had other national team jerseys. Today was much more of a United Nations of kits going into the stadium. A lot of South Africa, a really good number of Czechia, and I thought you heard them at times as well, very loud. But then you had, I saw a lot of Mexico, I saw a lot of U.S., I saw a lot of Atlanta United, I saw Messi, I mean, I saw all the jerseys, all the jerseys.
The Messis, the Ronaldos, the Mbappes, you seeing them all.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's funny, you mentioned Mbappe. That is one this summer I really haven't seen much.
Interesting.
And it is an interesting one, because when we talk about star power in this tournament, and I think it was Carl who asked me about it today. We know, like, okay, with the U.S., I think Christian Pulisic is that guy who crosses over.
Yeah.
And then there's a next group of like Weston McKennie. I think a lot of people are finding out who he is.
Yeah, I definitely have my eye on him in that first match.
Yeah, his big personality. He has fun with the hair. I mean, like, he stands out to you.
Chris but you Richards. See it on the pitch too, and I like
that. Yeah, exactly. Like, I love guys who and women in the women's game who give you personality off the field and then back it up on the field. I love that combination. That's what I want from players. I want people to have that personality in the team. Ropes, I agree with you. I have seen more Neymar than Mbappe.
I have seen Neymar.
I'm trying to think. I mean, Messi obviously is the most of the non-US players. But Mbappe, it's really interesting, because he is right now, I think it's hard to say he's the best player in the world, but he's in the top four for sure. He's right there. I mean, he's going to win another World Cup, I think, with France in his career. He's going to be the all-time leading scorer before all is said and done. But is he crossing over out of the soccer bubble? I don't know if he is.
That's a good question.
It's an interesting opportunity. Like, if I was this agent, I would be like, how do we get him out of this bubble?
And it is interesting, because, like, there's an opportunity right now in the World Cup, like you said, for his agent, and also, like, Nike. Because I've seen some of the stuff that Nike has done with Kylian Mbappe. Like, they have a shirt where it's the Nike Air TN logo, but instead of TN, it says KM. Okay. So it's like they're like doing certain subtle things to try to push him. But to your point, I would think they would really well. I've seen Nike drop the ball in other sports arenas, so I shouldn't be surprised. But this is a moment that they should be able to capitalize and push him in that way. I know Lego has their World Cup stuff out, and the three bills that I've seen were Cristiano Ronaldo, I believe Messi, and Mbappe. So
yeah, he was part of that.
So they're going in that direction.
Yep.
But to your point, I guess I haven't seen that many Mbappe kids.
I have seen more, and look, Spain's here, so it's a little different. But just even in the advertising world, I mean, Lamine Yamal's on the side of the Signia Hotel.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I was coming back into town from Kennesaw. I went up to Czechia training. I don't even know what day it is anymore. Yesterday, I was coming back, and I was coming down Northside Drive, and you turn to where you can see the Signia, and I'm like, that is a really big Kylian Mbappe on the side of that building.
So you saw it in person. I saw it was a photo of the Fan Fest, I believe, but they had caught the Signia, and I saw it in the background. I blew it up like, is that a player?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's wow. I haven't seen anything like that since. Tony Braxton on the Flamingo. Like, that's how they had her in Vegas on the Flamingo. So I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, Chris Ashley says, you know, seen more Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho's been everywhere during this tournament. I mean, the McDonald's commercial with Yamal. Beckham is winning the World Cup.
Beckham is all over the place. I was saying it today. I was like, if I see one more David Beckham ad.
I know.
But it's cool because everybody loves Beckham. They love him in the UK. They love him here for those 2 seconds he was at Galaxy. They loved him before here. Like I said earlier during the broadcast, handsome goes a long way.
It does.
And if you're handsome and you can play, and now he's, you know, the name. Yeah, he's just going to print money in America the bigger soccer gets in America.
That's where, like, and it's fascinating. And, you know, this conversation comes up with the WNBA. It comes up with the NWSL, too. Mm-hmm. That combination of, you know, physical appeal and ability on the field. When you get the players, whether men or women, who have both,
yep,
the sky's the limit. And I think Beckham has shown that. I think Angel Reese shows that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trinity Rodman is starting to get mm-hmm. into this conversation.
Yep.
And
even Messi.
I mean, Messi's yes, a little different.
He's a little different, but like they had the I want to say it was Michelob Ultra, the Michelob Light ad.
Yeah, those have been really good.
With him and Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah,
and like they use his international as well. Like they use his unwillingness, because I won't say inability, his unwillingness to speak English.
Yeah.
They use it well, and especially in that ad.
Yes.
And to see him be shocked that he wasn't fawned over for being Messi and for being the football and he didn't get the beer was absolutely hilarious. And you were able to do all of that without him having to use a whole lot of English. And you were able to get personality out of that. I do think most of his ads are just look at him, he's Messi.
Yeah.
Because that's the Lowe's ad, in my opinion. Like, look at him. He's Messi in a Lowe's jersey.
It could be anybody, except he's just the greatest, and people know he's the greatest.
Right. But this one, like, they found a way to bring his personality out, even with the language barrier. And I think that's going to be a recipe for him specifically and for some MLB players. But I think that's going to be a recipe for him specifically moving forward, because I think the ad worked well.
Yeah, it did. And now that's an ad. Like, that's a whole series that they've done well with Argentina. There's an extended cut with multiple Argentine players. There's the extended cut with multiple U.S. players. Christian Pulisic comes out of that looking great. And you get Billy Bob Thornton attached to it.
Yeah, exactly. And
Billy Bob presented, I can't remember which game it was. Was it the first U.S. game where he presented the Player of the Game Award, the Michelob Ultra Player of the Game Award? Which I didn't know this until, I think, yesterday. Kyle Pitts presented it at the Spain Cabo Verde game. He presented it to Vosinha, the goalkeeper from Cabo Verde.
Yeah. Yes, he did. I saw that. I did see that. Okay, so I saw the photo op. I didn't realize that that's what that was, but I did see that.
It's the Player of the Game Award, and Michelob Ultra sponsors it, and they have different people present it. I don't know who presented it today. I haven't seen any of those pictures, so I'm not sure. I don't know who was in the building on that.
Yeah, these are some great city tie-ins for the places that you are. Like, and it kind of makes you wonder. It's the fun ancillary stuff around the game. Like it kind of makes you wonder who did it in Seattle, who did it in Dallas, who's going to do it in New York. Was one of the Mannings? Was it the Manning that was in the stands that gave the award in New York?
The unknown Manning.
or who could it be? Also, it was hilarious. The internet was making fun of him trying to explain soccer to his child. Because one, the 5-year-old did not look interested, and two, it was very much, do you really know what you're trying to tell your child here? Do you really know what you're explaining right now?
Leading him down the wrong path.
So that was also fun.
Man.
Yeah, I've had a ball so far. And guess what, Jason?
What?
Guess what, Jason?
What?
I found pins.
You've went down the pin road. Okay. You've not gone down the sticker road. You've went pins. What pins did you get?
Oh, you think?
You went down the sticker path too. You went down all the paths.
Oh, you think?
Oh my God! Oh,
these are the things that I love almost as much as I love the game. And guess what I got out of my first pack, Jason?
What did you get out of your first pack?
First pack. I've only opened two.
Okay.
Out of the six that I bought.
I got five that are sitting here. I'm gonna open one for us in a minute.
Yeah, I got many more coming. I brought mine too. Because I saw your TikTok earlier this morning, or rather or rather I would have if you didn't say CBS had Panini stickers, because then I just ran out the house and ran to my local CBS.
I did the same on my way back today.
And I found pins and I found stickers. And can you see who this guy is?
Who'd you get? Oh, you got Miggy.
I got Miguel Almiron.
Very nice.
Yeah, I was very excited. And the way I read it, so I didn't even see the face first. I saw the flag inside and I was like, Paraguay? Oh, that's cool. And then I saw Atlanta United. That's, wait a minute. And then I looked up and I was like, oh, that's Miggy. So yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I got all kind of stuff in here.
Let's see what kind of luck I have on my pack. I haven't opened a pack in a minute. I was out and I was trying not to do it. And then Maddie getting back into it is, I had to go buy some more packs and I've got another box on the way. And
I got obsessed. A box on the way too.
All right.
And my bookie's on the way.
Yeah, I did the Amazon version of the Costco pack that everybody got. So
Yeah.
I got the hardcover book coming.
Yeah, I got the hardcover book. You got the gold book?
No, I think it's black. But
oh, nice.
It's,
okay.
It's the hardcover one.
Yeah,
it's,
I got the hardcover one.
There's the soft cover and the hardcover. I got the hardcover coming. Arden Deshari from Switzerland. Ronwin Williams, goalkeeper for South Africa. I like him. Ruzbeh Cheshmi from Iran. I got the Qatar logo. That's not good after their game today. Avasi Ueda from Japan. Yuki Soma from Japan. Oh, and Tyler Adams from the U.S. national team. Very good. Very good. I will take that. I gotta start putting these in the book when I get it. I think I'm getting it this weekend because I need to see how many duplicates I have.
Yes. I don't know when my book is coming in, but I am super excited. Oh, I got another set. I got a South African player earlier this morning.
Okay.
I got another one. I actually got the whole match. I was like, oh, we got the whole match set up here.
Did you get any checks?
Let's see. Yes, I did. Which check player did I get?
Oh, I got the Uzbekistan team shot. The Atlanta's Uzbekistan White Wolves.
Oh, nice.
Got that. That's good.
I got the Portugal team right here.
Okay. I got Cabo Verde, Roy Duarte.
Oh, sweet.
And the blue variant, the blue border variant.
Okay,
those are
sweet,
kind
sweet.
Of common. Like if you get a red or an orange border, hold that to the side. Don't put it in your book.
Okay.
Check the value on that.
Right now, I got white ones. I got a blue one for my South Africa player.
Yeah, the blues are pretty common. I got a bunch of blues in the 50-pack box, but I got one orange and one red out of 50 packs. So those are kind of rare.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, because I have no blue. I have no red, no orange yet borders. I just have that one blue one so far. But yeah, this is a...
It's addictive.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I can't wait to get my book and see how many duplicates we have, to your point. Jonathan Orso, Canada.
Oh, nice. Osorio from Toronto. Yeah, he's one of the Canadians I like.
Yeah, I'm watching the Degrassi High team. See what they got going on.
They wanted to fight everybody today. I mean, Qatar was kind of taking some cheap shots. The leg breaking thing, like, I feel bad because
it
wasn't
true.
That kind. There were worse tackles. Like, the one that I think got a yellow, that the dude came flying in and the leg came up across the knee of the Canadian player. I'm like, that's horrendous, and that's intentional.
Yeah.
The leg-breaking one was late and reckless and just really bad luck, I thought. So.
Yeah, you hate to see it. Those definitely not the type of injuries.
Yeah,
you want to see.
I missed it live because I was trying to actually catch my breath after a busy day and then accidentally saw a picture of the lower part of the leg flopping, and it was not what I needed to see.
Yeah, even in basketball, I try to miss those. I also got into the Coca-Cola
ankle
stuff.
And lower leg injuries are the ones that break me because I had too many of those playing myself.
Yeah, always. Anytime they say like a broken leg or ankle, I'm out.
No part of it.
Like Paul George, like when Paul George broke it, I don't know what that looked like to this day.
Don't want
to
see it. Don't want to see it.
If anything happens to Wimby or any of that, I'm out.
So you're doing
four of the 12 right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Four of the 12.
Who'd you get on those?
My first one was Lamine Yamal. So I was like, oh, we're cooking with gas.
I've got Lamine.
We got Lautaro Martinez.
Oh, El Toro from Argentina.
We have Jefferson Lorma from Colombia.
Good win for them last night.
Yeah, we have Joshua Kimmich.
Kimmich. Oh, we got to get you on the German.
Okay. Okay.
Joshua Kimmich.
Yes. Kimmich. Okay. I didn't know what to do with the double M. The double M tricked me up there.
German's tough. And I mean, we go through this all the time when we're doing broadcasts, and we talk about it a lot because we want to get it right. We never want to just dumb it down and be wrong and just, oh, well, we can't do it. No, we can. It's just sometimes hard.
I'm always open to pronunciation corrections.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. German's a tough one for me. Portuguese is a tough one for me. So the Czech is very difficult. Just going through all of the accents and marks that we're not used to seeing with the Czech players today and doing our written report, I was like, whoa, this is hard.
But you know what? Between soccer and the W, I am going to get better at it.
Yeah, and NBA too. Like, I think you're getting more international players. And I hope, because I think American soccer has went through this where at first we kind of, and I just disagree with it. I think we kind of went down the road of the English commentators who just anglicize it.
Yeah.
I think you have to put forth the effort to say it as their parents say it.
I agree.
That's my rule. And I can't always get there, but I can try. And I think I would much rather miss, but be in the ballpark of getting it right than just say it wrong.
Yeah.
Just to say it simply. Like, Bruno Fernandes is one. He's Portuguese. They don't say Fernandes. They say Fernandes.
Okay.
And he has said for the Premier League, hi, I am Bruno Fernandes. And that's what the players will say their name in front of the camera before every season. And commentators are just like, no, we're not going to say it. And I'm like, that's not cool. Like, it's not hard. And if people don't understand it, then explain it to them. We went through this with Tito Villalba here in Atlanta, and we went back and forth about it. And I think it's a different conversation now than it was in 2017, where we 2017 and 2018, where we did decide to say it. And this is a even more subtle issue. Where he's from affects how you pronounce it, because if he was Mexican, you would say Tito Villalba, but because he's from Argentina, the double L is more of the Z. It's like a ZH. It's a noise we don't really have. Somewhere between a J and a ZH. So I love Argentine soccer. I always said Tito Villalba. And people were like, oh, why are you saying that? It's Villalba. And I'm like, no, he's from Argentina. That's how they say it. And here's some examples. They're like, oh, that's really cool. That's not hard to do.
And that's what I try to do. Listen to how it's pronounced by somebody else as well as typically... If you have access to the broadcast stuff, they will give you like a fanatic way of saying their name right there on the paper. Like it's not always going to be foolproof, but it's steps you can take instead of just being like, you know, just wait till the moment of and be like, what does it say? Oh yeah, that guy.
I know what communications departments in MLS I can trust, and I know which ones I can't trust with the phonetics. So there's a few that I'm like, oh nope, I know that's not right.
And there's that too. Like I said, it's not going to be 100% fail proof, but you know, it's at least, you know, some steps to say you're trying.
Yeah, and that's all I want. Like that's all you got to try to do is just try, because then you're respectful. You're respectful of the culture. You're respectful of that player, and you're trying to get it right. I wanted to get into this, and we'll go about probably 10 minutes or so on it, because it was really interesting, and I did not mean to go there with Carl and Mike today on Dukes and Bell, but it's something that I've been thinking about a lot, and it's been popping up in how I look at a lot of teams in this tournament. The idea of matching who your team is as a country and how they play, because, and I think this happens team to team. Like I kind of made the comparison of college football. In terms of, you see a player, and we actually had this conversation about the Falcons, and it was about Cunningham coming in, and he helped the Bears kind of define what a Chicago Bears player looked like.
Right.
And it's like, you would see a player, the scouts would see a player, and like, he's a Bear. You see a kid coming up through high school, and you're like, yeah, he could go to Georgia and be a star. Or no, he's more like a Michigan guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you have that culture, what you see. National teams are different because you can't go place to place, although that is becoming more of a conversation. You can choose. You can't switch and go back and forth and transfer, but you can make a choice when you're young. And that's always a fascinating topic, and we'll hold that one for now. In terms of culture and building a team, I thought it's so fascinating that Mauricio Pochettino is from Argentina. Thomas Tuchel is from Germany. Tuchel is managing the English national team. Pochettino obviously managing the U.S. team. So they're outsiders to that culture. But I think the two of them have explained and tapped into and pushed the players to be real representations of their country's soccer culture while pushing it a step forward. Not just saying be the stereotypical English player, be the stereotypical U.S. player, but be that, be yourself, and let's add this. And it's kind of cool that it's coming from somebody from the outside looking at that culture and saying, I really admire that culture. Let me add something to it and make it even better in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I think you're seeing that with this U.S. team because they play like U.S. players, but then they've got that extra bite of that Argentine grittiness, which Pochettino brings. It's just cool to see, like, I think somebody from the outside get it, or in like Georgia football's case, when Kirby goes back and he goes into that program and he's like, yeah, I know what Georgia football is, but I need to help this group know what Georgia football is.
Mm-hmm. Like, I need you to have establish to establish that standard.
Yeah, it's like, I think it crosses a lot of things. Like, it's standards, it's personality, it's how you play. You know, like, if you're like Deion Sanders couldn't have played at Michigan.
Right.
Like, yeah. He didn't fit that. He fit where he went and it suited him. We see some guys, you know, and this is at the pro level, they go into a team and it's like, yeah, they're not really, they don't fit there. And they go somewhere
else. All the time. Fit is important.
They blow up. Yeah. And culture, I think, is part of that fit.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Yeah.
It's an interesting topic. And I mean, we've talked about this with the Dream and like what you see in terms of culture with that group. I think the team does a great job of showing the personalities with those players. And we had the conversation when Angel Reese, you know, came into the Dream, and it's like, oh no, she's going to fit like a glove. Like, she's going to fit perfect with those personalities. That's not going to be a problem at all. And she hasn't had that before at the pro level. She didn't have that in Chicago. She's got that with this group. She fits right in.
Yeah. And you see how, like, to our conversation of the style of play and players and coaches that fit the style, that last year they went out and got a coach to fit the Atlanta Dream style of coaching. What does an Atlanta Dream coach look like? Okay. Yep. They found it with Incar. Okay, check. Then they wanted to add more Atlanta Dream players. They looked at Angel Reese and they said, okay, y'all don't want her perfect because that's an Atlanta Dream player tonight. Mm-hmm. I think Skip Bayless talked about Angel being happy to, you know, beat her rival. I think this is only the second time she's beaten the Fever. You had to change teams to go do that.
Yeah.
That wasn't a sky mission, but on the Dream, that's something that's possible to do. That's something that's possible to do now on the regular, and that's because now she's with a group of people that fit her as well. So, and to your point, I think that's what you're seeing with the U.S. national team. I think this manager is brought, to your point, a gritty style of play from Argentina, and just mixed it into what they already do, what they're comfortable with, who they are as players, and that's probably what's needed for the U.S. men's team to kind of take that next step.
I think that's why it took a second. And I think it's something that maybe some in the media have bristled at Pochettino being very Argentine. And yeah, but he has gotten to know what the U.S. player is like and what U.S. soccer is like. And what I think, as much as somebody from the outside can see it, like, it's his interpretation of it, but he's tried to understand what U.S. culture is like. Thomas Tuchel has done the same in England. Like, he's German. He's not English. Mm-hmm. But he has tried to immerse himself in it. He has given his interpretation of what it means to be an English national team player. And I think he kind of leaned into that yesterday, where they were 2-2 at halftime against Croatia. And he's like, guys, this isn't what England is supposed to be. You guys know what England's supposed to be. Go do that. And you saw a better performance. I mean, I'm sure he had much more to say than just that. But that's the point that you make. And I think Pochettino's basically said the same kind of things about, you know, the U.S., you know what people want to see from a U.S. team. Like, be a fighter, mm-hmm. be a hard worker, be somebody that is going to be scrappy, be somebody that is going to be difficult to play against, mm-hmm. and express yourselves. And I thought that game against Paraguay last week, like, that was the thing to me. It was the combination of, you were so good off the ball defensively, you kept winning the ball back high up the field, like, the structure was great. All of the soccer things there were great. But then when you got on the ball, you had guys pulling moves. You had guys throwing back heels. Like, you had players taking chances and expressing themselves in the way that they play. And it was just that combination of the two that I loved.
And it's going to be fun to see it continue tomorrow. Which state am I in again? Are they in Seattle?
They're in Seattle tomorrow. Okay, so it's probably going to be a little bit cooler, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Australia is a really interesting team. I mean, they surprised everybody with the win over Turkey. I wasn't quite sure what to make of Turkey coming in. I think a lot of people just looked at the roster on paper and said, oh, they'll be really good. For whatever reason, they haven't been. Like, that national team hasn't been consistently good, and it doesn't always make sense. And sometimes that culture and that expectation is negative. Mm-hmm. You know, like, sometimes it's and I think usually it comes from a team that's won a lot but hasn't won lately, like Italy right now. Italy can't get back to the World Cup, so there's like a little bit of a mess with what it means to be an Italian player right now. And I think the expectation crushes the reality of how good they really are right now. They're not that. We've talked about this with the U.S. I think at times the expectation of how good they are doesn't match actually how good they are. And then people are disappointed when it's like, actually, no, they kind of did what they were supposed to do. I think for Turkey, they struggle with that at times. So Australia is the scrappy underdog. I think that as a nation, they kind of embrace that. And now you're playing a big powerhouse country, maybe if not a big powerhouse soccer country. So they can lean into the, like, we're going to show them and all that. Mm-hmm. And there's been some trash talk back and forth. There's been some things said from U.S. pundits that the Australians have held on to. There were some things that their coach said after the draw that was kind of like, you know, oh, I'm not scared of the U.S. at all, that the U.S. has held on to. So, and two teams that play in a very feisty manner. I think also the other cool thing about this that I really enjoy, just like we talked about, like, coaches coming in and figuring out what it means to be part of that culture and kind of giving their interpretation of it. The U.S. has went through this for a while where you see a player like Serginho Dest. You see players like Folarin Balogun. I mean, Folarin Balogun could have played for England, could have played for Nigeria, was born in Brooklyn because his mom was too pregnant to fly back to England. Like, no joke. And I think she was 7 months or so, was supposed to go back to London. And I want to say it was American. I might be wrong on the airline. Was like, no, you're not flying. No.
Dual citizenship.
And yeah. And he's kind of been like, and I think his mom was the one who really pushed, like, that happened for a reason. Play for the U.S. You know, and he might not have played for England. I think he would have played for Nigeria. He wouldn't have been at this World Cup with Nigeria, although maybe he could have gotten them there. I don't know. But now, like, he interprets what it means to be a U.S. player differently than others. Malik Tillman is another one. Australia is now starting to get that, where, like, Aussie culture has not been as multicultural as I think the actual country is. Mm-hmm. And now you're starting to see that in their sports culture. Aaron Kunda, the player who scored the first goal for them, believe is a refugee who came to Australia and has embraced being Australian. And I love to see those aspects of it because it just enriches the original culture to begin with. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so cool when, whether it's Pochettino adding a little something to U.S. soccer culture, or a player like Tillman or a player like Balogun bringing their experiences into the mix and who they are into the mix, the program gets richer for it. I think it's so cool to see these kinds of stories in the World Cup, because it used to be very homogenous what a national team was, and now it's not anymore.
Yeah.
It
really is. And you're getting all these stories of, if people are on teams you didn't expect them to be on, to your point, why they are on those teams.
Yeah. Yeah, you had, I need to pull the name, I can't remember, South Korea had their first naturalized player. And that's something that, you know, we've never really seen with South Korea. A little bit with Japan, where players would go and play there and then naturalize. Jens Kastrup, he's born in Germany. A German-born midfielder of mixed heritage, the first foreign-born player to switch nationalities and represent the men's squad for South Korea. That's what's cool. You know, that's what I love about this tournament. That's what I love about whether it's individual teams becoming more diverse or getting to understand cultures like Cabo Verde and Uzbekistan. And the game brings everybody to us. And that's what I love about soccer.
And then this one has, especially because it's the World Cup. Like, they are right here at our doorstep. This is, if you've never taken the opportunity to experience any of it, this is the perfect time to get into it.
Go watch a game somewhere. I beg of you, if you listen to this show, you listen to the podcast, go watch a game out in public somewhere. Go outside, go find a spot. I'll tell you my experience before we sign off. I went to the brew house for the Argentina game because of the College World Series. I was early when Argentina was going to play. I thought I was going to be doing the show during the game. So I was early. I signed off at 7:40. I'm like, all right, game's at 9:00. I got time. Luckily, I know people who know people at the brew house, and I was able to squeeze in a chair at the bar. It was kind of a wonky stool that was off to the side, but it worked. I squeezed in, and I'm sitting at the bar next to an Argentine couple to my left. And they're like, oh, they saw me walk up and they're like, you know, oh, you got a new Messi jersey. That's really cool. And I'm like, no, it's not Messi. Look at the number. They're like, oh, it's 16. It's Almada. And I told them like what I do, and we're talking about it. And that's to my left. So we're talking like deep dive Argentine stuff. To my right is a dude who first soccer game he saw was a couple of weeks ago, the last game of the English season, the last day of the English season when Arsenal celebrated their title. And he was just going through little 5 points and he's like, what is happening over there? And he's like, this is really cool. And he came up. And so he's asking like very simple questions about what's happening. Why is this going on? Tell me about this guy. And he had been learning. Like he knew some stuff that I was really impressed with. But he was just excited about everything and brand new to it. So, like, I'm turning to one side and I'm talking about Argentine soccer history, and I'm turning to the other side and I'm explaining like the formation.
Yeah,
it was so much fun that all of that blended together, and then Messi has a hat trick and everybody loses their mind, and it was just a beautiful thing. It was really, really cool. So go get outside, watch a game somewhere, and talk to people.
Yeah, I have to get outside. That is on my list. I'm going to try to get outside tomorrow. But I think I wound up being the sports bar for my sister on Tuesday because I decided to throw some stuff on the grill, and I had all the TVs on, and I had Messi on, of course.
Yeah.
And I think so. I have 3 Samsung TVs, and for some reason, one remote controls all of them, so it is complete chaos whenever they are all on together, and people forget that when they come over. And so I went in the house, I wanted to check on the game, and I was like, where's the match? And it was like, huh, what are you talking about? And my friends just changed it. He's on YouTube, but he doesn't realize he's changing all the channels above him. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he thought I was talking about some video he's gonna play. He's like, you really don't wanna play? I was like, no, stop, put the remote down. I was like, where's Messi? So I had to reset all the TVs, and they're trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And I think right when I got it back to the TV, Messi had scored the third goal. And I was like, goal!
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the hell is going on? And I'm like, y'all better get into it. Y'all better get into it. It's going to be this for the next 6 weeks. But I'm going to try to get out to the brew house and come see what you got going on tomorrow. I'm going to go home, take a nap, try to get all refreshed, and put on some gear and come out there and see what you got going on.
Yeah, Brew House, a little Five Points, will be packed. Brew House South Downtown is now officially open. I was there yesterday when it was open in air quotes.
Right.
So, like, the doors were open. It was kind of a soft launch, yeah, testing things out. It was great. I love the spot. Some Czech fans came in. It was cool. South Downtown, like, the whole vibe and what they're doing, I love it. 5 minute walk from Five Point Station, from MARTA, or from the Garnett Station. Easy. You got now in that little space. Like, I like Spiller Park Coffee. That's where I've gone for both of the World Cup games here.
Okay.
But I love the little area on Broad that is now hopping with El Tesoro, with the Founders Green Park right there between El Tesoro and Broad Street Barbecue. Okay. And then Brew House across the street. You got all the vibes, you got all the different things, and that's becoming a spot where Casa España is based down there. They've got a cool, like, Spanish national team activation up through Sunday, maybe up through Monday, definitely through the second Spain game. But teams are marching, fans are marching from out of South Downtown to the stadium.
Oh, is that where they're marching from? Okay.
So, like, Spanish fans will do that Sunday, probably 9:30 before the 12 o'clock game. Today, the South African fans did that. Spain did it for game one. The other set of fans, like, marched from another area of town. So, like, it's really cool how all this is happening. And there's just all these opportunities to interact around soccer, whether you have been like me and watched it since you were a little kid and you're old, or you just found it in the last few weeks. Like,
right.
It's just such a cool opportunity to embrace it. So do it. Embrace
indeed,
it.
Indeed. I'm going to get out here in these streets and see what's going on.
Ropes asks, how crowded will McRae's be? Probably very. I'm thinking about getting there in the 1 o'clock hour just to be safe. It should be pretty packed. I have not been to that McRae's, so I don't know the layout. That's the other reason I want to get there early, because I want to make sure, like, I got a prime spot to really watch the game. Like, doing a 2-hour post-game show, I need to, like, really watch, not mm-hmm. just watch and yell and like, I need to pay attention.
Yeah.
So I want to be locked in a good spot, so I'm going to get there early. It should be crowded. I think everybody is going to be crowded tomorrow afternoon for this game.
Yeah, probably.
I really think it's going to be one of those special moments for soccer people, for non-soccer people, for everybody. It's going to be a big, big day. So get out early. Wear your red, white, and blue, unless you're Australian. Then enjoy your yellow and green, and we can be friends again afterwards. We'll have a Michelob Ultra, and all will be well. But for 90 minutes, we'll yell at each other, and that's okay. We'll have fun.
Yeah, we're gonna act like the 90s, and everybody put up their colors. Let's go.
Yes, and then we'll drop them, and we'll have beers.
Exactly. We'll tie the flags together, and we'll have peace.
We'll be like the
afterwards.
Mexicans and the Koreans, who now can be friends again after the game, because
that
bromance has been the bromance of the tournament. I got to share some stuff that I've seen from that whole thing with you, because it is hilarious. The golden, like, K-pop Demon Hunters song redone in a Norteño style kept popping up on my TikTok, and I was dying in the build up to this game. So
I absolutely love it.
All the chaos,
the building of cultures,
all the culture, all the World Cup, all the things, all the Atlanta soccer tonight, back tomorrow, 6 to 8 on the radio, on the YouTube, on the Odyssey app as a podcast after. Enjoy the game, watch the game, yell at the game, and then we'll try to make sense of it at 6 o'clock. But y'all have a good rest of the night. Adios, everybody.
Go!